If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, everybody. We are here today, and we're going to be talking about sustainability practices in our outdoor classrooms. So I wanted to just briefly introduce the concept of sustainability and how we are using it in our outdoor classrooms community. So many of you already know that we have this amazing outdoor teaching boot camp, which talks about the five phases of teaching outdoors. And the fifth stage is sustainability. And what I tell our community as we're introducing it and diving into it, I tell everybody that it's twofold. So sustainability in our eyes here at Outdoor Classrooms is that one piece of sustainability is to actually work on sustaining your outdoor classroom. And that means putting pieces in place that you are going to create an outdoor growing classroom that is going to be able to sustain itself over the years. That means you might want to get a cohort of people together that are in charge of making sure that the nuts and bolts of that outdoor classroom remain sustainable. So that is one aspect of sustainability. The second aspect that we talk about in our Outdoor Classrooms Bootcamp is incorporating sustainable practices. So what does that mean? That means recycling, reusing, creating those sustainable practices within our outdoor classroom that we can, again, teach children, and they are systems in place that are creating and teaching sustainable practices. So with that, we're going to be talking about the latter, which is creating these concepts of sustainability and its importance in today's world, especially in our outdoor classrooms. So it's incredibly important to begin with that. And today I wanted to just zero in on that and focus on a couple aspects of that. So the first one is eco-friendly materials. So really thinking about using recycled and natural materials in the construction of our outdoor classroom. And again, in our outdoor teaching bootcamp, phase one is the infrastructure of our outdoor space. So thinking about what can we use that's already in our world, our communities, that we can recycle. For example, we have a makerspace garden at the Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom. And in that makerspace, we have large loose parts. We have old tires that the kids can roll around. We have old ladders that the kids balance on. We have old slides that are in there. So oftentimes they'll take these big loose parts and they'll make obstacle courses. They'll do heavy work. All of that is, it's not necessarily something that you grow and you plant into the ground, but it's what we call in one of our four types of teaching gardens, it's a garden for outdoor learning. So again, that is something that is using our recycled materials. Another place where you can use recycled and eco-friendly materials is in our mud kitchens. And again, another one of our four types of teaching gardens. So in our mud kitchens, we can recycle these pots and pans and all sorts of wonderful things that can go into this garden, and it's helping us with the sustainability practices. So thinking about the infrastructure of our outdoor classrooms and thinking how can we make even the infrastructure eco-friendly. One of the things I really don't like is I don't like outdoor classrooms that have sort of a very finished, polished look, because I like the fact that it's more user-friendly when there are more loose parts. So when areas aren't necessarily defined, for example, even the mud kitchen, if the mud kitchen is too defined as a kitchen, it might be better off if it's just, it has a flat surface, and that the kids can actually transform that space into a flower cafe or different types of things that they want to create it into. So the more open-ended that you can create and open-ended materials that they can use, the better. So the second one I wanted to talk about is water conservation. It's a wonderful way to incorporate sustainability practices into our outdoor classrooms. So rain, how can we collect the rain and harvest the rain into systems and integrate that into our outdoor classrooms? So again, it could be just getting these huge rain barrels and collecting the rain and making sure that it's, yes, standing water is always an issue. But if you do it properly and you have a sort of a grate over it so no bugs and whatnot can get into the water, oftentimes you can get a rain barrel and it can connect to the building. So it's going straight into the rain barrel. Lots of different types of ways to harvest water, and an incredible lesson in terms of water conservation to really teach children. Oftentimes I will put gallons of water in our mud kitchen for the kids to use, but I will communicate with them very clearly that this is it. This is all the water we have for this session today. So they know, they start thinking when we talk about it's not an endless supply of water, that we need to conserve the water. So when I do that, their behavior changes. Their behavior truly changes into, okay, finding water. So if they are looking for water, they're finding different water, they're conserving the water, and they're communicating with each other, they're working together. So all sorts of different activities can go into water conservation, such as measuring rainfall, setting up a small rain garden. All of these types of things can be incorporated into water conservation. Even adding in our gardens that attract wildlife, even adding bird baths, and having the bird baths collect that water for our birds and our different various animals. So having this conversation is a wonderful time, especially during these summer months, to talk about water conservation. It is hot as the Dickens today and this week here in Massachusetts in the time of this recording. Boy, oh boy. So thinking about water conservation, so the first one being eco-friendly materials, how can we incorporate those into our outdoor classrooms, into the infrastructure of our outdoor classroom, and then with that infrastructure, looking at the gardens as outdoor learning stations, which is some of those can be a music wall, it can be their mud kitchen, it can be the fishing bridge, it can be the makerspace garden. All of those type of gardens can be eco-friendly in terms of using materials that we already have that we can reuse into our outdoor spaces. And then again, we talked about water conservation. How can we incorporate water conservation into mostly probably our gardens that feed? How can we connect that the water with and next to our gardens that feed so we can reuse the rainwater and harvest systems? Such an important lesson no matter what and how old our children are. So it's really us being creative and being innovative and creative with the possibilities and just whittling around with it until it works for us. The next one I wanted to talk about is gardening and composting. So if you do not have a composting system, there are many, many different ways to do it. Many educators and schools are nervous to put up compost into outdoor classrooms because they think, oh, the critters are going to come. They're going to come and eat all the stuff. Another way to compost, which is very easy is to actually dig holes in your outdoor space and put the compost materials in that hole. You don't necessarily have to have a whole compost system. You can just put the compost in the hole and then it will compost on its own. But the educational benefits of school gardens, such as teaching children about plant life, the cycles, the nutrition, and the responsibility, to adding this compost element is a way to not only reduce the waste, but to enrich the soil. And it really shows children and students how they can participate in composting activities. So we have 3 compost bins at the Secret Gardens Outdoor Classroom, which is absolutely fabulous. It has not, if it's done correctly, it doesn't necessarily attract animals. I have also done the dig a hole and put the compost in. So there are many, many different ways to do that. So whatever works for you, the one thing you do have to do with the compost is turn it. And so when the compost is done composting, you can then put that, I call it black magic, into your garden beds. It's been so hot here, so I'm taking a pause until it cools down a little bit to do that cycle and adding the black magic to my garden beds. Again, you're recycling and reusing that and creating beautiful black dirt and letting the worms do their magic. And there's just so many incredible nature-based books just on worms and the beautiful things that they do for our soil and our life cycles, truly. So first 3, finding those eco-friendly materials, looking at water conservation, looking at how we can add compost, the act of composting, gardening and composting in our outdoor classrooms. So again, that it doesn't necessarily have to just be a garden with just creating a compost bin for the sake of having a compost bin. It's nice to have this gardens that feed along with it. So I see them both as sort of married. So creating that garden, and it can be as simple as growing peas and beans, very, very simple things for the kiddos to really see and enjoy. The next one I want to talk about is wildlife habitats, and what we often refer to this as the gardens that attract wildlife. So we've had of our gardens that feed, we have our gardens as the infrastructure gardens, and we have our gardens that attract wildlife. So thinking about this piece is, it's incredibly important to create habitats that support wildlife, like birdhouses and butterfly gardens and insect hotels. So we actually have a bug hotel. We have a big name for it, where we have all our decomposing logs, and the kids just love it. But putting signs next to these places is so critical. And adding birdhouses and these butterfly gardens, and all of this is attracting wildlife, the wildlife that we want, into our outdoor classrooms. And it also is speaking to how we can help and nurture these habitats. So these projects that we're going to be doing with our children, hopefully over the summer if you don't have them already, but truly all of this is to enhance our outdoor spaces. And if we can enhance our outdoor spaces that attract wildlife and teach our students and our children about these local ecosystems and the biodiversity, there's nothing like it. There's magic that comes with that. And so they in turn will, our hope is that they will become advocates themselves as they grow and learn. So what we need to do is, we don't need to be experts. We don't need to be geniuses in this department. We just need to take kids out and explore and invite them into the world of wonder and curiosity as ourselves. And if we don't know something, that the kids, we can learn alongside of them, and they will even look at us even with greater eyes in terms of, oh, you don't know that either? So then we can bring books and learn alongside of our children. So the final one is engaging students in community. I know I say this over and over and over again. We even in our capstone, our Teaching Beyond Walls capstone course, we have a whole pillar about community and how important it is to bring community into all of these experiences. So what I want to talk about here in terms of creating sustainability projects and how that connects with our community, it's truly goes back to that planning and maintaining a garden and organizing it. And it might be that your children and your students are communicating the sustainable practices that they've learned, that they're communicating that maybe at a fair. Maybe they're communicating that to the leadership in your community, the importance of the outdoor classroom gardens. Maybe they are becoming advocates themselves. So there's so many different podcasts that you can listen to hear about how other farmers and educators are doing this in their community as examples. So I encourage you to listen to many of the tour and talks that we have here on the Outdoor Classrooms podcast. If you are in the Circle community, you will see the images and pictures of these Outdoor Classrooms tour and talks. That's part of our community in the membership. But to tap into learning what other people are doing, how are other people engaging their students? How are they engaging community in sustainability practices? I just did an incredible podcast interview with Ryan Blossart. He is with the Waynesboro Farms, and it's incredible what they are doing in terms of bringing their community together. I think they even have just meals from and the food coming from the garden once a week or once a month or something like that. But it's an incredible podcast to listen to. So I want to summarize by saying that the key points that we talked about is to create these outdoor classrooms with eco-friendly materials. We want to incorporate water conservation into our outdoor classrooms. We want to incorporate gardens that feed. And in those gardens that feed, we want to incorporate composting efforts and also incorporating how can we create gardens that attract wildlife and create these wildlife habitats that are going to tap into our local ecosystems and biodiversity. And finally, how can we engage children and students and our community into projects, sustainable projects such as planning and maintaining a garden or organizing a sustainability fair, and to truly think about the role of our community involvement and how parents and local organizations can contribute. Because once we do that, there's the opportunity to grow and to think about what is that first domino for you going to be? What is that first thing that's going to get you so excited? And not that you want to do all of these all at once, but to pick one sustainability project this summer, maybe, and think about how you can consider implementing a sustainability practice. Just choose one into your own outdoor space. So I invite you to share your experiences and ideas and how you're bringing sustainability into not only education, but into your outdoor classroom. I would absolutely love to have you on our Outdoor Classrooms podcast as a guest to share your program, your story, your outdoor classroom story, and specifically how you might be tapping into any of the sustainability practices and share that with our greater community. So without further ado, I'd like to thank you for everything that you're doing to reconnect children with nature. I want to thank you for everything that you've done to enhance outdoor classrooms and taking your outdoor classroom to the next level. Again, I hope I can see you in our summer Exploring Nature in Summer Masterclass, which is starting up in July 7th. The garden gates open, and our first live session will be July 17th. So we'll talk soon. Thanks. As we close today's episode, I'm thrilled to introduce an incredible opportunity for educators, parents, and nature lovers, the Exploring Nature in Summer Masterclass. Dive into the vibrant world of summer with our comprehensive guide to the four types of teaching gardens. This masterclass is your gateway to creating dynamic outdoor classrooms that captivate and educate. Whether you're interested in the gardens that feed, the gardens that attract wildlife, the gardens for art and beauty, or the gardens as outdoor learning stations, we've got you covered. Each module is packed with practical steps, activities, and insights to transform your outdoor space into a thriving educational environment. Perfect for early childhood educators, parents, after-school providers, and homeschoolers, this course empowers you to inspire curiosity and foster a love for nature in children. Don't miss out on this chance to enrich your summer with learning and exploration. Visit our website at www.outdoor-classrooms.com and enroll in the Exploring Nature in Summer Masterclass today. It opens up on July 7th. And it is a four-week course, and it is included in our seasonal masterclass bundle. And if you are interested, it is also part of our Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. So learn all about it, and if you have any questions, I'd love to answer any questions within our one-on-one discovery calls. Talk to you soon.